Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Today was a big day because I just put my new order of Athletic Greens from its very well-made protective sleeve that it shows up in into the ceramic bowl with the ceramic spoon. So it was, I don't know, it's just nice.
That's
nice
when you know that you've graduated. Honestly, when you're an Athletic Greens pro is when it transfers over into that awesome ceramic bowl with the scooper. You know, you've graduated. Congratulations.
Yeah, it felt good. And it feels more like I'm getting even more than 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens. It feels like 85.
No, I know. Well, you know what I think happens, and do not quote me on this, but that ceramic bowl, you know, it could add a little sort of psychosis. It just gives you a little bit more, you know, your brain is working.
Because of the ceramic quality?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, whatever it is, if I can get somehow maximize my intake of these 75 vitamins and minerals, then I'm all for it. It's lifestyle friendly. It doesn't matter if you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything. And it tastes great, so I don't get tired of the taste.
Tastes good. And by the way, it's easy. You pour a scoop in, you shake it up in your shaker, and then you just slam it in the morning, and you're done. That's it. Very simple.
They have over 7,000 five-star reviews, and they've made it easy. They're going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do, visit athleticgreens.com/daddyissues, athleticgreens.com/daddyissues. And join us in this fight for better gut health.
Cavalry Audio.
Hey, sorry. I know I'm dead to all of you, but I couldn't get off another podcast. It's my fault.
Fine. It's totally fine.
What one? What was it?
It was for my old producer's son's college thing.
You're so generous. Like, I would never do that.
Yeah, you would.
But it was like, it's like your eighth cousin's removed boss's ex-wife's kids or something. Like, it's so
I'm just not good at saying no. And I'm happy to help people. And I think that's from guilt of being my dad's son and getting all these legs up in this business.
Mm-hmm.
I think when they call, that little voice in my head's like, you lucky bastard. You are so lucky your dad was Jack Buck. So you're not going to do this kids podcast, really? You're too big for that? So then I say yes, and then I'm late for my own podcast.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're a better man than I am, because I'm just like, hey, look, I hit the lottery. What do you want me to do?
You undersell. You undersell yourself. You would be all in.
I was like, I didn't choose this. No, but you're good at that, and I do that too. I do that too. I go out of my way to try to make things happen for people. But I also like the hustle part of it. If someone's like, oh, I wish I could have this. I'm like, let me try to figure this out for you. Like, I get off on the hustle part.
Well, there's plenty of ways to make a difference in somebody's life. And I'm not saying I just did, in case, I mean, I don't know where this is going to pick up, but I just did my old producer's collegiate son's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can make a little bit of a difference in somebody's life and spend 40 minutes, you would do the same thing. And so that's, I say yes, because I want to help. And it's a way, it's almost a way for me to teach. I don't know if you ever get off on the idea of teaching the art of acting or whatever, you know.
I need to learn the art of acting before I can teach the art of acting.
No, bullshit. You know the inner workings of it. And I like giving my wisdom, my acquired wisdom that's come to me over time of doing this for a long time, to other people.
Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, so yeah. I get that. Me too. I talked to you this morning, and it's so funny because we had a nice conversation, and I had all of these things I was going to talk to you about. And I said, oh, Oliver, wait, don't mention this, because I had questions and topics. And I was like, mention it on the remember it for the podcast. And now I don't fucking remember it. I should have just brought it up then. I have no idea. I was like, oh, that'd be good to talk about. Like, I have some questions there for Joe and like some advice potentially. And I'm like, oh, no, don't say it now. Wait. And then an hour later, I don't remember shit. I think it's the weed.
Yeah. I do that. What'd you say?
Is it
the weed?
Is it the weed? I mean.
No, I find your memory extremely
sexy,
vibrant for somebody who destroys as many brain cells as you do on a nightly basis.
I don't.
Mine's terrible. And when I read the story about poor Bruce Willis, that's
devastating, man. So devastating.
And then everybody's got a story about him, you know, not, what is it called in the business, an earwig, where you've got an earpiece in,
yeah,
you're listening to dialogue that you're basically repeating. When I did Masked Singer, by the way, I don't know if it was nerves or whatever. My 3.5-year-old son can remember the words to Learn to Fly and or I Want You to Want Me better than I could, even though I sang it 400 times. I had the vocal coach talking in my ear, going, I want you. So I want you to want me. I need you. As I'm finishing that line, it's like, I need you. I need you to need me. I love you to love me. I beg you to beg me. But it was like, I don't want to screw those up. I want to get them in the right chronological order. And then I'm so used to somebody talking while I'm talking from my sports TV stuff that I'm like, you're not going to mess me up. You can say anything in there. If I hear one clue, now I can take the idea of forgetting the words out of it. And she basically spoon-fed me throughout three god-awful songs that I sang.
I know. Well, so, yes, I think Willis did that. Johnny Depp has an earwig in. Brando had one in. I think Downey Jr. has one in. I could be wrong, but I know that Depp does. I know that Brando did. And what it is, for those of you who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, you will, sometimes these actors won't memorize their lines. Maybe they'll look over them, understand what the scene is maybe, but, and I'm just totally guessing, but you know, they don't know their lines. They want it to be fresh. So Brando would put an earwig in, and the script supervisor or someone would read the lines, and they would go into his ear, and as they were going into his ear, he would then say them. So the idea is to keep it sort of super, super fresh. And there was these outtakes that I got to see. I think it was from Island of Dr. Moreau, where Brando, you can see the chronological order of the takes. And the number one, you hear him listen. You can see him listening and saying the lines, and it's no good. But by the end of it, once you're at take 10, 11, 12, he's understanding the lines more, and boom, 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 and it's just sort of coming out of him and like incredible, you know?
But that's a real skill. It's cheating, I guess, in one sense.
Yeah, there's no cheating. I mean,
yeah,
cheating.
So I was going to ask you.
Like, you deliver a great performance, deliver a great performance. I mean, however.
If you were acting across from somebody that had that, would that bother you?
That's a great question. I don't know, because I'm the one in the scene trying to sort of create an energy, you know what I mean? Create some sort of a moment. And if that person is just sort of looking and listening, and I don't know. It's a great question. It depends who it is. If it's some like rookie actor who, you know, it's his first job. And I'm like, dude, come on. But if it was fucking Johnny Depp, I mean, of course, I'd be like, hey, it's great. Whatever
you're amazing.
You're amazing. Yeah.
You're unbelievable.
Right. Totally.
No, but
I want to try it. I want to give it a shot just to see. There's two things I want to do in my acting that I haven't tried. One is the earwig thing. And then I would love to get stoned and try to do a scene. I've never been high on set ever, not even close.
Doesn't Seth Rogen live in a constant state of fog
yeah.
when he's working?
Well, I wouldn't call it that. You know, I mean, you might call it fog.
Fog. That I just meant smoke.
Yes, like, he does. He wakes up and smokes, but that's part of his inspiration. That's part of his creativity. That's he's functioning. The guy is, you know, creating and funny and writing and doing pottery and, you know, weed is no good when you're smoking it all day and just sitting around watching TV or whatever. But if you're inspired by that high and you can be creative, then shit. So I would love to try it stoned. I just get nervous that if it doesn't work out, I'm fucking everything up for everybody, you know?
Maybe that would be that. So then you would kind of equate yourself to what my big worry is, being nervous about being, you know what I mean? Like
right.
you couldn't relax into what you typically relax into because you're worried about it affecting your performance and screwing everything up.
I guess, yes. I mean, but on the flip side of that, I know how creative I can be when I get stoned. I know that, you know, if I had to do an improv for fun when you're telling jokes or you're with your friends and riffing and stuff, I'm at my best. I'm quick. My mind is working, you know? So it would be fun to learn your lines, know the scene really, really well, get high, and I'm not talking get crazy fucking blazed off your face, but just I'm a little stoned here, and really drop into the moment of the scene because you do lose inhibition, you know. Weed is good for anxiety sometimes.
So everything that Curtis said to you all these years would then come to fruition if you could relax because
and just not give a shit.
Not care.
Right. Right. I'm getting there just on my own without marijuana. You know, just as an actor, I'm like, who gives a fuck, man? I'm 45 years old. I'm lucky to be doing this. You know, I've had a constant career. It's like, who gives a shit? Just fucking do it.
And it's tape. Right?
Yeah. You just do it again.
It's not like you're doing anything live. You're not walking out at the Oscars.
No.
Slapping people.
No. No, I'm not doing that.
If you screw it up, so what? They throw it away. Then you do it again. And
yeah.
Then you...
yeah. Yeah, for sure. But maybe if the cleaning lady officially gets picked up, then maybe I'll try one. But I think I'd have to warn everyone. I'd have to talk to Melissa and Elodie, the creator and the actor, and but I'd just say, look, you guys, I'm giving this a shot. I want you to know. I don't want to just not tell you. But the issue is if it works and it's amazing and all of a sudden I'm incredible, that's when it gets dangerous. That's when you're getting high. Just
that's called the slippery slope. And then the next thing, you know, you're basically strung out and people are going, why is Oliver living under a bridge? It's part of his creative process.
No. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
So Michelle just called and I couldn't pick up because you and I are doing this right now, but she is going through what I went through back in 2002, which is losing her dad.
Yeah.
And not to bring this down, that should not be the topic in a podcast that people I think listen to kind of escape. But that's going on. And so living this with her as I'm home with the boys and she's in Denver with her dad, who's just gone through hell and has so much infection that it's just that time, just brings everything back to what I went through back in 2002. And those moments that you have when a loved one is, in my case, my dad was in intensive care, and those conversations you have and that kind of end of life wisdom that you just remember for the rest of your life. And she's had these beautiful moments with her dad that gives her some solace as his life is coming to an end. And that's, I'm just so proud of her for all that she's handled. She's bounced back from St. Louis to Denver. I mean, I think literally 9 times over the last month and a half, and trying to be a mom and trying to be a wife and trying to be a daughter and trying to be a sister. And she's just so great handling all she handles and doing it the way she does it. I just worry about her because she's holding up so much that I hope she takes care of herself, which is hard to do.
I'm sure she will. You know, I mean, I think there probably will be a point where once it does end, there will be relief. Once you're dealing with that for so long and it's just weighs on you, you know, and then it finally happens and it's horribly sad, but at the same time, okay. I can get back.
And it, what happened in her case is exactly what happened in ours, which was my dad's older brother, Earl, came in from Cleveland, who he adored and was just a smart, smart man. And he showed up after my dad had been in the hospital for 7 months. And it's that frog being in the boiling pot thing. Like when, if you drop him in, he'll jump out. If you just have him in the water, you just slowly turn up the heat, he's going to stay in there until he boils. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like when you go to a hospital every day and somebody's deteriorating before your very eyes, but you're there every day, so you don't get a realistic view. And his older brother showed up and was like, oh my God. I mean, he's like, this is horrific. Like he is wasting away. He hadn't seen the process. He saw my dad before he went in, and then sees him 7 months into this hospital stay in intensive care. And he's like, Jesus, this has got to end. He's not going to get better. This is, I'm here to tell you. And that's what happened with Michelle's dad. His older brother came in and he's like, ugh, my brother doesn't want to live like this.
Yeah. So
it's mirror image of what I went through 20 years ago.
There's a choice, you know, and I know that Michelle's dad doesn't really have a voice right now, but you know, there is a choice that coming from the person who is deteriorating to finally say, hey guys, I'm good. I'm done. I'm excited. Life was amazing. And now it's time. I can't do this anymore. And that happened with Kurt's mom, with Lulu, where she was just a warrior and she was like 90 something years old and battling through everything and cancer. I mean, she was just incredible. I mean, and then it got to the point where she had another situation and she could have gone into rehab, you know, and probably been living. But she was just like, you know what, guys, fuck it. I'm good. I don't want to do it again. I don't want to go through rehab again. I'm good.
Right.
You know, which is nice if you're lucky enough to have that moment where the choice is made for you, you know.
Well, that happened with my dad. I was in his hospital room one night after a baseball game. I stopped there and it was just he and I. And he couldn't talk because he had this trach, but he was mouthing it to me, but I'll say it. And he was saying, I want you to do me a favor. I'm like, oh yeah, sure. What do you need? More ice, more water, more. Will you let me die?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Dad, I know it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating. I know every day it's another thing and there's infection and there's, and you don't feel it, but you got to trust me. I'm out here talking to the doctors. It will get better. They're excited about this. He's like waving his finger at me. Like, no.
All right.
No. Let me die.
Right. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. You may.
Yeah.
But you're not the one laying here.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes, and I said this to Michelle, I wonder if sometimes, you know, the family keeps the person alive for the family, but not really for the person, because they're the ones that are laying there and they're the ones that know how they feel. And all of a sudden they don't have a voice to say what they want. And in Michelle's dad's case, and then shortly thereafter with my dad, he had a stroke, and then it was he almost felt the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Like, and then you know that slowly whittled away again. But that urgency to die kind of went away for a little bit, a couple weeks, and then we were right at the end. And that happened with Michelle's dad. Like, he, do you want to fight? Do you want to squeeze my hand? If you want to fight, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. it's just so hard to see somebody you love so much deteriorate and get to that point. Mm. And then when you feel like you almost have to play God,
yeah,
like is this enough? And when they can't advocate for themselves, or they can't tell you exactly how they feel, or they can't say I'm done, you know, then you have to take matters into your own hands. And it's just hard.
Yeah, I know. And now he's on the last legs, right? I mean, the decision has been made.
It's just a lot for her, a lot for her brother Andy, a lot for her mom. He was going to move here to St. Louis, and it's just he can't get over infection, which is one of the pieces to diabetes that my dad suffered with, type 2. But the inability to get over infection, to kind of have wounds heal, mm-hmm. that's a big limiting factor for that. And I think that's what he had, this major back surgery, and then he was laid up in the hospital for a long time, over a month. And that's what happens in hospitals. That's what happened to my dad. My dad died with infection. It wasn't lung cancer. It was the complications after lung cancer that kind of got him.
Yeah. Wow. Well, speaking of dads, it's funny. I got a picture from Sarah Hudson, who is my cousin, who is Mark Hudson, my uncle's daughter. And it was a picture of my dad, of my Uncle Mark and Uncle Brett, like currently, meaning like 2 days ago, all like arms around each other, like taking a photo. And now they don't speak. Last time I've talked to Uncle Mark, who I text with a bunch, like they don't talk. But apparently, I was like, what the fuck? And dad looks good. Dad's still handsome. Fucking Bill Hudson still's got it going on.
But send me that picture. I want to see.
I will. But I don't know who put it together. I'm curious, actually, now that I'm even saying that out loud. I didn't even ask that question, but I do want to know. Someone said, hey, guys, like we're old and we're brothers, and it's time to squash this shit and bury it, and we need to get together. And they did. They had lunch, and apparently it was like amazing. It was incredible. So
because
really,
they perform together. There's a lot of people that, I mean, I would bet 99.8% of our audience doesn't realize that you're not just the son of a female performer, you're the son of a male performer. Mm-hmm. And Bill Hudson, part of the Hudson brothers, and you know, they had a variety show. I as I've said on here 100 times, I saw them as the Lion, the Tin Man, mm-hmm. and the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz on Broadway when I was a little kid. So they had that extra stress mm-hmm. of being performers and collaborators together. And I'm sure that was part of what happened.
Well, and you know, and it's just all the petty bullshit, you know. I mean, over the years it's been nutty, and I know my dad has handled things poorly as far as their financials go and what direction they're going in, and I don't know the ins and the outs of it. He was the oldest, so he has sort of had control, and it just all went to shit. I mean, with all the petty fucking bullshit, they're back together, and I hope they stay back together. And then I created a thread for myself, Sarah, Kate, and Bill, my dad, Mark, and Brett. And I said, I forget my opening statement, what I was like, hi, I'm like, I'm Oliver Hudson. Like, are you, I was like, are you a Hudson or something like that? You know, something stupid. But, you know, everyone's responding except for my father, which I think it's because he literally has a flip phone from 1998.
Right. I mean, you might have to give him a pass for technology.
Yeah, I think so, because everyone's responding and he's not, you know. And Uncle Mark has been sending me all these pictures, dude. Oh my God. Of the Hudson brothers, you know, and then back when they were babies, like tiny babies, and they were fucking cool. The 70s was cool. I mean, they look cool as shit.
When were you born? 76?
Yeah.
I was born in 69, so I have a working knowledge of the 70s and how weird it was as a kid. When I look back at the, let's say, the shag carpeting in our playroom, the beautiful colors of burnt orange and rust that would be mixed together, kind of that awful yellow.
Yeah.
It's like, what? How does that, if you think about the 60s, the 50s, the 40s, all of a sudden the 70s come along and they're like, here, we're going to redo the entire color palette of everybody's clothing. And it's going to be maroon, rust, dead yellow, and bad orange.
Yeah, and then there's that green in there too.
That awful lime green.
Yeah,
cars
lime green.
Were made and painted to look like fucking edamame. On wheels.
Yeah.
and somehow everybody's like, yep, we're killing it now.
Yeah.
Forget the 60s when everybody was kind of tightened up and the little skinny ties and the nice suits and whatever. They went totally the other way to just stuff that even then nobody could have been like, man, this is groovy.
But
I guess they did.
They did.
The drugs.
I don't know. Maybe it was psychedelics, you know? Maybe the psychedelics is what brought that age in, that sort of style, design, all of it. I mean, if you were to attribute it to anything, the timing seems to work out. Not that there weren't psychedelics in the 60s. Of course there were. I mean, that was potentially the golden age of psychedelics, I would think. But into the 70s, it was, maybe that was it. It was all flower power and psychedelic-y and laughing stuff. Or was that – laughing was the 60s? Or is it the 70s?
Like late 60s, right?
Yeah,
into the 70s?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I don't know.
Then you had, you know, guys that are like, hey, you know what would look great with this polyester wide-collared suit? A scarf.
Yeah.
And then they're, you know, that's – okay. Yeah, that looks great.
Yeah.
You start looking back. I look back at pictures because when we were young, my sister and I were young, that's mid-70s.
Yeah.
And I mean, even my kid outfits are horrible. Horrible.
No. I know. I mean, I was 76, so I had a little bit of that. And then I had early 80s, which was those big tube socks that had the stripes on the top and like tiny dolphin shorts. Yeah. You know, like a total bowl cut and some like strange t-shirt, you know.
You know what else I would say about you having seen your, you grew into something and I grew into something from when I was little. I feel like I grew into my ears.
Mm.
You grew into your teeth.
Yeah, I had big chompers. That's like Rio.
Yeah.
Rio's
but,
got
but
my
now,
big square
now you'd
teeth.
Now you never go, oh, Oliver Hudson, the guy with big teeth? No, but as a kid... you're just like all teeth. As a kid, I was all ears.
Yeah.
But I somehow, I mean, I have a huge head, but it's all relative. So now the ears look like they belong.
Right. But your ears came first.
The ears came first, and then the rest of me caught up.
Yeah. Yeah, I had huge square teeth. That's like Rio. I mean, Rio's got these big-ass square teeth right now.
Does she have, when did kids lose their baby teeth? I don't remember.
Well, she was super early. We were just talking about this literally last night. We had dinner with Rio. I had dinner with Rio. And she, I think, 4 years old is when she lost her first tooth, which is extremely early.
Yeah. Because I don't feel like my boys...
5, 6, you know, around that time. Yeah. But
I'm hoping Blake, his second set of teeth are more... substantial than the baby teeth.
Oh God, they will be. I mean, if you saw Rio's chiclet teeth, right, or huge teeth like the mask, Jim Carrey teeth, like you wouldn't believe what she was working with before. I mean, they were tiny little teeth. Same with Bodie. Bodie, these tiny little teeth, and now he's got, you know, there's nothing to worry about there.
All right, I'm putting this down. I got to pee, and we're about to get our guests. So hold on.
Okay.
If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
You.
Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up.
right after the break.
Hey, sorry to wake you. You look like you're
in
a hotel room.
No, I'm in Palm Desert, man. It's spring break. Got the kids here. Golf, you know, a little tennis.
Lovely, lovely.
Where are you?
I'm in my home, my office.
With a nice little Adidas shirt on? Were you doing something sort of active?
No. I have to later. I have to walk the dog and go to the gym, do all the other things that constitute activity for me.
Well, dude, thanks for dropping in. Buck, I think, is in the bathroom.
Yeah, no sweat. Yeah. Didn't you want to put your 12 Emmys and your World Series trophy behind you?
No, I know. I know. How about that?
Hi, Hammer.
Bucky boy.
This reminds me of the old joke that my dad used to tell because I just got up to pee. And the joke was, you know, they say if you ever get lost in the woods, start playing with yourself and somebody will find you. And in this case, of course, the 1 second I put the headphones down and I walk into the other room to go pee, here comes John.
Yeah, I thought we were doing a bit, but I was like, okay, no, I'm sorry.
But hey, Joe, I have a question. Have you ever been caught playing with yourself?
As an adult, like...
Yeah.
Recently?
Yeah.
No.
Never?
No.
Oh, I got.
I don't know that I've ever had that moment. I never had it like with my parents or.
Yeah. I did. I got caught by my sister. I don't think she still even knows to this day, but it was.
Well, yeah. Obviously, the thing is like you think they saw something that they're kind of not really processing. They're like, all right, let's just move on. where's the car keys?
They're definitely not in your pocket.
I was not just jingling them.
Right here. Hey, I'm thankful that John came on because I take any chance I can get to publicly say how proud I am of my friend John, who is the same guy that I saw in our teenage years that drove my sister my sister drove him, I still don't know, back to Columbia when they were going to, one was going to Mizzou, one was going to whatever that William Woods or whatever that school was in Columbia. But John is just...
Stevens, wasn't it?
Stevens, yeah.
Right.
Stevens, I think. I don't know. Think it I should was know that. But just congratulations. Thank you for coming on. The three of us had a nice dinner.
The other night, yeah.
Super Bowl time, and it was good to see my two good friends, Oliver and John, at the same dinner table, feasting together. It was a beautiful thing.
I know.
Together, we are three quarters of the greatest sandbag and golf scramble team in the world, because you guys are both absolute sticks, and I'm terrible, but have flashes of brilliance. So
he's underselling himself. He's a natural, like you're a natural. Nobody would ever see the Hollywood guys coming. That's the thing. It's a sneak attack.
Sneak attack. And we got the low handicapper and then the sports guy and then me, who I'll hit four shots around that will blow your mind.
Yeah.
And the rest will be absolute garbage.
Yeah, but we'll have fun. That's what it's about.
We'll have fun. I like to have fun with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you playing at all?
I have not played. I'm actually going to the Masters this weekend, which is really fun.
Ooh.
I think the last time I played golf, I played two rounds of golf. One was at Spyglass and one was at Augusta. And that was like 2.5 years, pre-pandemic,
oh,
obviously.
Oh, my God.
Those are the two courses I played.
Amazing.
And I shot 2,000.
Oh, my God. Spyglass is impossible.
It's so hard. And you know, again, I hadn't picked up a golf club. I hadn't swung a golf club in 6 months.
When are you going to the Augusta. Masters?
I leave Friday.
You do? You going for the weekend?
Yeah. Going for the weekend. Taking my girlfriend. She's never been, so it'll be like, you know, fun.
Oh, God.
You know, it's a fun thing. It's a thing to do. And yeah. It's not a lot of people get the opportunity. So I was like, Mercedes is a big sponsor down there. So they gave me up.
That's right.
Hooked up.
I know. You're the Mercedes. You do the voice, right? I hear your voice.
The voice of the brand in North America.
Oh, my God, dude. I, I, uh, I have like a branding
for 13
agent.
Years.
Yeah. I have a branding agent who, you know, I do weird shit for, you know, anything I can do to hustle up money to feed my children, like
play more golf,
you know, play more golf. But I always get these fucking voiceovers, and you do it on your phone, and I've never gotten one ever because I they're like, just be yourself. We want like authentic da da da. And then I do it, and I try to be myself, and then I hear the spot. And it's nothing like what they told me. It's as car commercial as you can get, like, yeah, Ford fucking tough. And I'm here trying to do just my regular voice because that's what they seemingly wanted.
Right. It's funny to hear it because, like, you know, Joey obviously has made a career out of having the voice of an angel. And you see, you know, Will Arnett is the perfect example of that guy, right? So he's been doing it for 100 years, and he's always this guy. And he sounds like that man. That sells a lot of Dodge, professional grade. And you know, it's somewhere between Clint Eastwood and a gravel driveway. But it's funny what they're looking for, because sometimes it's that, you know, weird. Josh Lucas has been the voice of Lowe's for however long.
Yeah. Like,
once you hear it, you can't unhear it. And you're just like, oh, okay, well, who knows? Like, there's no rhyme or reason. I just got really lucky that that they were sick of Richard Thomas.
It's funny we're even bringing this up, but I've always wanted to ask you, because I bow to you as a voiceover guy. It's a real skill. What is your, if you're doing, like, you did the voiceover for the Blues Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that was fun. I love doing those things, because I did a thing for the Cardinals this year too, which is going to be really great for opening day, because it's about Wainwright, Molina, and Pujols now coming back, and so it's a really great piece of writing. And you know, it's sports, as you well know, the drama's baked in. You're ready to go when it's the Blues going to the Stanley Cup Finals or opening day for the Cardinals or the All-Star game or the Super Bowl. You know, it's those things have their own baked in kind of drama. And if you just lean into it and you're a fan, it becomes very easy to kind of bring that out, or at least, you know, accentuate it mm-hmm. in some way and how you talk about it. And, you know, as well as anybody, Joe, you're like, your dad was a perfect example of this. It's like, don't do too much, but it's all right there. You just have to say the words, and you just have to describe what's happening, and the audience gets it.
Where I get in trouble, and when I get tripped up, is my broadcast voice is loud, and what I hear when I hear you do it, so it's just so subtly dead on, and it's comforting, and it's the opposite of loud, and it's not soft, it's just easy. And do you, if there's music underneath you when you're doing voiceover, do you want to hear the music? So
yeah,
you
often
know?
or if you're doing something that's matching a picture or something they already shot, I want to see it. You know, you never want to be like super suave guy when they're showing a picture of a shark attacking a seal or something. You know, it's like there's definitely a disconnect there that you want to be made aware of. But yeah, also, you know, to your credit, Joe, you're usually announcing in a stadium full
right.
of tens of thousands of people. So if you're not loud, you're not heard.
Right.
And so I think that's always a delicate balance to strike. And when
I've been there too, in general too. I mean, you're just loud. You know what I mean? Like
true.
you just speak loudly. That's who you are.
Hello, Laverne.
Hi.
Hello, Shirley.
Hello, Shirley.
Where are we going to find two idiots to be able to... Hello.
Hello, Shirley.
Meanwhile, what you don't know is
that... That was my stepmom,
that
Cindy Williams.
That's his stepmom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so Shirley. my dad, when he remarried Cindy Williams, you know,
oh
from
my gosh,
Vernon
that's
Shirley.
Amazing.
So.
And then Squiggy, he worked for the Dodgers for years.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
He was in like the front office for the Dodgers for years. I met him once coming to visit you up in the press box. I was like, is that
Squiggy?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it is. Like,
hello.
What? Hello. 3-2 at the bottom of the night.
Where are you right now, John?
I'm in LA. I'm here in LA. I've been on the road for most of 2021, and I just got back into town in February from working on a gig in Scotland. We were doing this thing for Amazon called Good Omens. Good times. It was, but Scotland in January, December, January, February is damp. Dark.
John, do you like to, are you a workaholic guy? Do you like to line them up like bang, 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 bang? Or are you getting, is there any world where you're like, I have to fucking just chill for a second? Like,
you're always of two thoughts, right? Oh, if I stop working, I'll never start working again. So everyone will forget about me and there's this and that. But Lorne Michaels always said something really, really funny that I try to keep in mind too, which is like, how can we miss you if you won't go away? there is that too. And also, like, the reason I work hard is that I like to actually spend money on doing things. Like, whether it's my birthday was in March and my gal and I went to the Alps to go skiing. Mm-hmm. I've never done that before. That's like something fun and let's do that.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of, you know, I don't have kids, but like, if you work hard, you want to spend it on other people and do fun stuff. And, you know, can't take it with you. So
yeah. And do you drive a Mercedes?
Yes.
Contractually.
I mean, well, it's not like, come on, it's a Mercedes. Exactly.
It's not. I was having dinner with Jason Bateman the other night and he's the Mercedes ad came on and the thing we were watching, he goes, what? He goes, I just, you know, I do Hyundai.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a Hyundai. Hey,
nothing
come on,
wrong.
Man.
It's sensible.
It's dependable.
But it's fucking perfect. Like he is a Hyundai where you are more of a Mercedes and Arnett's more of a Dodge.
I'll make sure to tell him you said that.
He's got the Hyundai voice. There's no doubt about that.
Listen, it's, you know, they both are a pretty nice paycheck, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Didn't you just do their podcast? I feel like I promote Smartlist than I do my own show. But
I did not realize quite how wide a reach that audience was, too, because I was literally walking my dog in the neighborhood yesterday, and another person, you know, you do the how you doing kind of wave to the other dog person on the other side of the street, and your dogs are fighting against the leash, and she goes, hey, I heard you on Smartlist.
Mm-hmm. They're crushing.
Good. They deserve it. It's fun, and they're all nice guys. And I remember when they were talking about starting that podcast. This was years and years ago. It's like Bateman and Will are both. They're just like, talk about hard workers. They're the frog at the bottom or the mouse at the bottom of the butter churn. You know, churning in the butter.
Yeah.
But it's good. I mean, it's good for them. You know, it's like they've found something that they really like to do. And they have fun with it.
Yeah,
have a good time. So.
Hey, do you produce stuff too? I mean, do you have a company? Yeah. You produce direct?
I produce stuff. The reason it took me a while to get on this is that there's a movie. Bucky, you might even know this story. There's a movie about a Southern Illinois baseball team. It's basically like baseball Hoosiers. So it's like the little team that could. And it's a book that I read a long time ago, and it was excerpted in Sports Illustrated, and I've just been chasing it for a long, long time. So I'm trying to put that together. Got a couple TV things I'm trying to put together. I did a podcast, a scripted podcast that I think could be adapted into something. So, yeah, you know, the longer you hang around this career, the more you kind of understand how shit works.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, why don't I just do it? Like, I don't need to pay somebody else to do it. I'll just do it. And then I won't have to worry if they're going to fuck it up. So it makes it a lot. You eliminate a lot of middlemen and you eliminate a lot of fees and you eliminate a lot of, time wasted. And it's nice to be able to kind of put your own stamp on stuff like that if it means something to you.
Well, I promised you 10 minutes. I don't know what it's been. It's been about 10 minutes, but
this is a good drop. Go get out of here.
I can talk to you all day. I do talk to you all day. Why not just throw us some of your scraps, whatever's left over, whatever fat you cut out when you're putting all these projects together. Just slide one down.
Yeah.
And let us do
well,
it.
Well, you know, the
or money
the
or
thing,
money.
The biggest just, thing that's coming out, which I don't even know how to fold that into this conversation other than just being a stupid plug, but is, you know, we got Top Gun Maverick. So the sequel to Top Gun is coming out in May.
Oh, yeah.
Memorial Day weekend. And so that's been I've been getting a lot of like texts and emails from people that I haven't spoken to in years of like, hey, where's that premiere going to be? Are you going to be, is there a way? Are you like a lot of people, yeah. You know, sort of all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Well, you've been in a lot of great stuff, obviously. But I've never seen you more proud to put on a trailer than when you were at my house and put that trailer on. I was like, Jesus. I mean, if there's one movie that like defines what I hoped to be in high school.
Oh my God.
It's Top Gun.
Yeah.
And now one of my closest friends is in Top Gun 2 or whatever it's called, Maverick. Yeah. And my
The Search for Curly's Gold.
Yeah. My friend Glenn Powell's in that thing too.
Yeah, Glenn's great in it. You know, yeah. Miles Teller's in it.
Monica.
Lewis Pullman.
Yeah.
Monica Barbara. We've got all these great people in it. Ed Harris, like Jennifer Connelly, like TC is, you know, is vintage.
Yeah.
He's doing it, man. It's like, I saw the whole film put together. I just saw the director last night and we're about to embark on the big press tour for it. But it's everything you want. It's like the perfect balance of like nostalgia for the original, but it's a new thing, but it's still got all the elements of that story. And they just did a great job with it. And I'm so happy to be
part
of it.
And they've been pushing the shit out of it, just waiting for that right time.
We finished it in 2018.
Yeah. Crazy.
It was supposed to come out in early 2020 and then it didn't because of obviously global issues.
Yeah.
And then it kept getting pushed. But I'm so, you know, like, look, it's like you said, like the idea of my 14-year-old self coming to myself now going to my 14-year-old self and saying, you know what? It's funny that you like this movie so much because you're going to be in the sequel. Like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Get away from me, you weird old man.
Man, I couldn't be more proud. And you're such a great guy. And thanks for coming on. And
thanks, boys.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's go Blues.
Let's go Blues. And let's go opening day.
Let's go opening day.
Out, feels like a step back into the realm of normal life.
Let's go Kings. Good game last night.
All right.
Yeah, whatever.
Come on.
Nobody cares.
Come on.
It's Barry Melrose.
No.
Beautiful flow.
That's right.
Yes.
McSorley and Melrose.
Yes.
All right, Hammer.
Boys. All right, boys.
See you, buddy. Thank you.
Later, bud.
All right. That was Celebrity Drop-In with John Hamm.
John Hamm. J.H. Johnny Hamm. Hammer time.
How about that?
What a good man.
I mean, everybody tells the story, but he was, and I could have worn him out on this, but he was at the end. Like, I'm done. I've been out here. Nobody's found me.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah.
And he gets Mad Men and changed his life.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, when we had dinner, I brought that up, and then he sort of shook me off, you know, he kind of wanted another pitch. Yeah, I was like, oh, I was pretty sure that was his story, and he's like, no, you know, I don't know.
Oh, my God, if that's not what he's saying now, I was there.
Yeah, I know.
We had lunch one day, and he's like, I don't know, I'm going to go back to St. Louis. I got this AMC, who watches, what is AMC? It's this show, but it's a new world, and people found it. And if you think about AMC, you know, you got that and Breaking Bad.
Yeah. No, I know. It's beautiful how shit can happen. And it's honestly inspirational for all actors, you know, because it just takes one. It just takes one. You know, he had done things here and there, but he was not John Hamm in any way whatsoever. And boom, one role on a fledgling new network, AMC, or that was sort of coming up. And boom, that's it. He's it. He became a star.
But I think he's so good. I mean, he pulled it off.
Well, he's amazing. He's a great Draper. He's a great fucking actor, just all around, because he's funny as shit. Like, he is really, really funny. A real funny.
He's quick. He's smart.
He's so quick.
He's quick. He remembers everything. I don't know. I'm a bit in awe of my good friend, even though he's a couple years younger than me. And I've told this story 1,000 times, so if I have here, but his girlfriend in high school was my best friend's little sister. That's how I've known him since we were in grade school or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever class you're in, a grade you're in when you're in your mid-teens.
Yeah, no, I know. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more daddy issues. Here's what I think about this podcast, and then, you know, we're almost at an hour here. I think that because we're doing this seriously for the love of the game, for the most part, that good things are going to happen. I've never done anything specifically just because I love it. I do love being an actor, but I get paid, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't get paid. We don't really get paid, yet we're on here every week trying to make a good show, being ourselves, talking, and who knows what's going to come out of it. Maybe something beautiful will come out of it, and in 10 years, we just say, remember those first few years? We were just doing it because we loved it. Look where we are now.
And if you could just project, what do you think that could potentially be?
I could say maybe an animated show that is very extremely successful, that is funny, but it also is poignant, and, you know, in the dad world. You know, I could see us with ESPN, with Hulu, with Disney, doing something amazing together there that has a daddy issues, you know, tilt to it. I could see potentially getting involved with Stat Hero, who we really love so much, and having an opportunity there. But if we never would have gotten together to do this in the first place, our relationship wouldn't be where it's at right now. No True. Fucking doubt about that. There just isn't. Michelle, me, you, Aaron, we're all much closer. And we're in each other's face every week. And we're creative people who this could just be the beginning of something really cool, you know?
Yeah, no, I like where you're going. What about like an apparel line or like a series of different lunch boxes for kids?
Exactly. Or just let's start small with like a lip balm, you know?
A lip balm, daddy issues lip balm.
Yeah, daddy issues lip balm. Who knows?
Because even daddies need moist lips.
Exactly. I'm telling you, there's a whole world out there for us.
What about like the little cord that, you know, you put around your sunglasses so you can hang them around your neck?
Like the croquis?
Yeah, croquis, yeah. But not as substantial.
That's great, too. Love that. Yeah, it's this weird little dad things that we create. That's how we start our apparel line. Like, what makes it easier to be a dad? What can we create that makes it just a little bit easier to be a father?
What about socks that are sewn into Teva sandals?
Great idea.
So, yeah. I mean, the only downside is when you have to wash the socks, you got to throw the whole thing in. But
no,
now,
but forget about the Tevas. What about socks that are just sewn into your pants?
You just slide your legs down your pants right into your socks?
Genius. And then you just wash the whole thing.
I like that.
I believe that's a onesie.
Josh! A onesie
now
is...
Now what's going on with... Now he's got a parrot and he's got three parrots in neon behind his head.
No, I know. You know, tell him what your company is called. I didn't realize it's
Third
called...
Bird.
Third
it's called
Bird.
Third Bird. So that's my logo.
And when you think Third of Bird? Third Bird, what comes to your mind, Joe? Like, what would you say? What would the
it's
joke
It's not going
to
be the same thing that came to Oliver's mind. I'll tell you that right now.
What's the joke that you would say at the...
I mean, I just think of like three people giving the finger to somebody.
Okay. That's good.
I think
good.
Of, yeah.
I thought the third bird was his wiener. Like it's like a third leg. That's what popped
into
my
mind. That's
where it always goes. Oh. Yeah, no, that didn't jump to mind.
Yeah.
Good. I'm really happy to hear that
Well, I thought
like
one testicle is like one egg, another is another egg where like the birds hatch and then the third bird is his ween.
I think you're thinking, like, if I called it Third Leg Media.
That would have been good.
That's a better name. You're so parrot overloaded right now. You have a parrot who's, first of all, fucking rude because it won't turn around and look at the camera.
Yeah.
Secondly, you have a shirt with parrots on it. Thirdly, you have neon parrots. Finally, you have different statues and knickknacks in the back on your shelf that are parrots. You need an intervention.
I think I do.
Yeah, I mean, dude, look at that. He's got...
It's crazy.
What in the hell
what's happening?
It's no
to me?
Longer funny anymore, Josh. Like, it's
no,
really
this
serious.
Is sad.
Yeah. It's
pillows
it's,
with parrots and birds.
It's crazy.
You're right. It is too much.
It's crazy. This is like
losing it.
This is like the you're prime for the sequel to the movie Seven, where it's just you as a serial killer with a parrot.
Oh, I know.
No fingerprints because you cut them off all the time, and then a box with a parrot head in
it. You know, it doesn't help that the only things people get for me have birds on them. So, like, it's not even stuff I get for myself. It's just everybody, well, he likes birds, so that's what they get me. So, like,
yeah, you're going to need to put an end to that.
Yeah, dude.
So get it? Do you have a group text so you can say, look, guys, I love you all, but stop with the parrot stuff. Are you a Jimmy Buffett fan because of this?
No. I mean, I respect him, but, you know.
Respect him.
What are you upset? You worried about upsetting Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, you know, I don't know who listens to this.
Jimmy Buffett, that I promise you.
I respect
Look
him.
Look at the ease with which he extracts the parrot from his shoulder.
No, I know. It's
There's not a pirate that lived on the high seas that has ever been able to handle a parrot that deftly.
Oh, my God. Dude.
It was almost magician like. It was like
like Blackbeard would be jealous of just Josh.
Oh, Blackbeard's like, get the parrot back on its stick. Meanwhile, Josh is like,
right. I wonder, was the pirate parrot thing real, or was that just sort of a created thing? You know,
I wonder about that because knowing how much care has to go into taking care of birds, it's like how are they able to do that as pirates on a ship on the ocean?
Yeah,
like,
but
it doesn't make
who
sense.
Put their diapers on?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, but the thing is, this is a long time ago. I mean, they didn't coddle their birds and put them in heated things. They probably just fed them scraps and they were more, you know, hardened.
They probably lived for like 6 months.
Wait, Margo just gave us a piece of information. What did she say?
Although there are no accounts of pirates having pet parrots, there was a trade in animals from all around the world throughout the age of piracy. A colorful talking bird would have been expensive, so pirates probably stole them along with other valuable cargo.
Margo cargo.
Margo Carmichael.
I want to go back. I just want to go back before we end this thing. It's not a onesie. A onesie is something that is you're fully in, like with arms, and it's a onesie. If you're buying a half onesie. No, if you're buying a pair of jeans.
It's a halfsie.
It's a halfsie. If you're buying a pair of jeans, but it's not attached to the pant on the outside, you sew it on the inside so there's actually a cuff. You know what I mean? It looks like a pant and a sock. It's not all attached to the outside. You understand what I'm saying?
So and then you never get that, like, awful look when you're, you know, you have socks, ugly socks on, and the jeans rise up and you
right,
see
so
the sock
above your shoes. Is sewn up high and the cuff goes down, then so you just slide them on. And dude, I think this is huge.
Think of the time you would save.
So much time looking through a sock drawer, blah 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 blah. I mean, boom, just throw them on.
You'd and never that takes lose care your of, socks.
Right. I was just gonna say the same thing. You'd never lose your socks.
Never lose your socks.
Your socks would always match.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
It's pretty good. This is pretty good. This is better than the idea I was going to suggest, which is from Modern Family. Phil Dunphy had the seat, the built-in chair, where like you can extend it anytime and sit down.
Yes.
You wear it.
It's funny. I have an idea. I have an idea that I'm not going to say on the air because I think it's so good that I don't want anyone to steal it. But it is about socks. I'll tell you that much.
Mm. Boy, what a teaser. I don't know if I'm going to be able to rest.
You want to hear it? You can just cut it out real quick.
No.
Very simple concept, but it could be huge.
You never want me to cut anything out, so I don't know why.
Well, I mean, this is something, you know, it could work. This could work. And maybe I'll talk to the animators about it when we talk to them.
I was going
to
say, by the way, one more thing. When you were talking about all the bird stuff in the background, have you seen the Will Ferrell interview on Conan's show where he comes on with the cockatoo on his shoulder, but then every time Conan wants to mention the cockatoo, he gets very agitated and says, we're not talking about the bird.
No.
That's how I feel right now. That's it's like every funny. Time I come on camera. And
well,
it's like,
I mean, come on. That's like you showing up with, you know, you're dressed as a lion, and we're not supposed to talk about it.
Right. Got, we're not talking about it, guys.
Sign.
It's not my fault for collecting all the bird stuff. It's for it's on you guys for bringing it up every damn time we do a podcast.
This is the first. This is the first sign of addiction is denial, and like, this is why you need to get your shit together. You know, you need intervention.
I got to get my bird shit together.
You do.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right.
Anyway.
I didn't notice all the bird stuff before, but now you have a, like, a practically flashing sign of
You're
bird.
You're daring us to not talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it. I'm sick of talking about it.
Well, then.
You're never sick of talking about it. Why third okay. bird? Because you have three birds, right?
Yeah, because we have three birds. I mean, that just made that.
What if you get a fourth
bird? Your name is going to be kind of obsolete at that point, huh?
Or if also, one dies.
What?
If one dies.
Oh, shit. You went dark with that. well, I mean, they're not going to die because you're always going to pick them over everyone else. You're going to save your birds over me, remember? So I think we're good. You'll be fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, I gotta go eat food. I'm starving.
Bye.
Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.